They talk about blessing as though God walks by and hands you a thing called blessing, or a thing called healing, or a thing called peace, or a thing called joy. And people hold their hands out as though they can take that and stuff it in their back pocket and keep it to haul out when they need it. Nothing God gives is a thing. It's all a person. If you want joy, it's Jesus. Healing is Jesus. Peace is Jesus. And victory over sin is Jesus. When you're close to Him, you can have victory. When you are walking far from Him, you will know defeat. It is that simple. And here's what Jesus says in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know it. And He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. The world will not see me anymore. You will see me. Because I live, you will also live. Just to stop there for a second, life is another one of those things. We live in a church where, you know, in America, where eternal life is an insurance policy, a fire insurance policy that God gives you. And you fold it up neatly and you file it away, and when the flames start licking, you pull it out because here I've got my policy. Eternal life is a person. To know Christ is to know life. It's not that I get to heaven and God says, do you have eternal life? It's Jesus, the life in me. And He says that, because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself. How do we keep that love? We began to talk last week about how what robs us of that love. And we talked about how the love of the things of this world rob us of the love of God. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters because you will what? Love the one and hate the other. You see, service is all bound up into love, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? Have you ever talked to people about things in the Christian life and they have every excuse in the book? Too busy, too tired, too this, too that, too the other thing. There is an axiom that you will find is absolutely true. I have all the time I need to do anything I want. If I want to do it, I'll find a way. How many people are there that they want to go on vacation? Doesn't matter how tight the budget is. What do? They find a way. Yeah, put it on that piece of plastic. Like the Wahadani fella said, you just hand them that piece of thing. They hand it right back. We talked about how Deuteronomy warns us, Deuteronomy 6:4 and then 10-12, how they, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength. But then he says, as soon as you go into that good land, what's going to happen? You're going to forget. And yeah, we are good in America at complaining, but we still have a lot of good things. We complain because we don't have heaps of good things and instead only have piles of them. We have them. And then we talked about how Colossians 3:5 defines greed as idolatry. You see, what it comes down to is anything that I begin to set my heart's affection on is my idol. Have to be a big thing? Doesn't have to be an expensive thing. And today, we're going to finish with this thought, and then I want to go into the actual steps that we need to take to renew and build and maintain that love. But before we do that, we need to look at this first. Will you turn with me to John's first letter, back by Revelation, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. These are old NAV verses. If you ever do the TMS, the topical memory system by the Navigators, tremendous way to memorize not just random scriptures, but scriptures that address very specific and needed issues in your life. And there are 60 verses on 30 topics, and you memorize the topic as well as the reference and the verse, and it walks you through how to do it. The topical memory system, or TMS, they're still available today in just about any translation you want. This is one of those verses. Here's what it says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. It says, do not love the world. Do you understand why there is so little victory and power and enthusiasm for Christ in America? Why the churches that are growing the most rapidly are the churches that ask the least of people and expect the least of people. I was talking to someone whose church was just taken over by that spirit. The attendance shot up from, I don't know about what we are, maybe 30 or so to 100 or so. The giving went down. And the new pastor couldn't understand that. But see, when it's all about, I'm just coming out for me and what I get out of it. Why should I give anything? Why should I give my time? Why should I give my money? Why should I give my heart? Why should I give anything? The problem we have is that it's so easy to have both Christ and this world today. It's getting harder all the time. It was easier a few years ago. It's getting harder all the time. But he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone, do you notice the absoluteness of these words? Do not. Not just be careful if you do. Not just there's a danger if you do. He simply says, do not love the world. Anything in the world. Anyone. Do you notice these absolute terms? Anyone who loves the world, what happens? The love of the Father is not in him. Now, we've been talking about how love is the discipline, love is the victory. What does this tell us? If I love the world, I don't have victory. Because the love of the Father is not in me. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, or as other translations translate that, the lust of the flesh. Do you understand something? We are in a battle where we carry the enemy with us all the time. My body is the enemy. We used to talk about there are three great enemies in the church. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I have a traitor in my midst, and it's constantly craving. Someone was saying the other day, we were watching at school, we were watching a kid's video, and they look it up every day on that YouTube, and before it comes up, there's always a commercial, and boy, the commercials for kids' things. I mean, who assigns these? But a lot of times they're McDonald's commercials or, I don't know, some other. And you know, have you ever ordered a fast food thing and it looked like what you see on the commercial? I mean, it looks on the commercial, it's juicy and there's lettuce pouring, and you get it, and it's, and you get it, and it's this dried up glop with some brown lettuce. You know, in the middle, if you look real hard. And and they were saying, it's no wonder we're fat. Every time you look at anything, it's about food. And you know what happens as soon as I see that stuff? How about you? My body goes, I'm not hungry. I don't need it to live. I haven't just put in, you know, planted 40 acres out back. I was watching a show a while ago about where they take these bosses and they make them work like undercover boss. That's what it's called. And they had the guy from Hooters. And he calls it Hooters Family Restaurant. And he's out on the street with this team that are trying to drum up support for Hooters. And he's trying to pass out coupons to these families with little kids. And they look at them. And they go, excuse me, I'm not going to take my kids there. And he was dumbfounded. He's like shocked. And he turns to the young lady that's there in her Hooters outfit, and she goes, excuse me, do you see what they make us wear here? And you think that people don't think this is a family restaurant? He just couldn't imagine the lust of the eye. Lust of the eye. I want it. Now, you can sit at home and lust after a new home anytime you want it. You know those X-rated things, they're called realty. Realty. You can go on there and you can look at the big houses. And they're fireplaces. And you can go, I don't like living in my little house. Oh, if I just had all that. Look, it has 19 rooms. The lust of the eyes. And why do they put all those pictures? Remember when it was just a little blurb in the paper, just words? Why do they put all those pictures? Because the eyes. the lust of the eye and the boasting of what he does. The boasting, that constant, I've got to have. Look at what I've got. My. Someone was critiquing a speech that was given, and they said it was amazing the person used the word I 250 some times in the speech. I. Me. Does not come from the Father. James says it the same way. We're not going to take time to go to James, but James chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Such a description of why the church is in the state it's in, and maybe why your life is in the shape that it's in today. Because here's what it says. It says, you want, you lust after, you greed for, and you don't get because you don't ask. But when you ask, you still don't get. Why? You ask with wrong motive. You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred, enmity, loathing to God? If you're the world's friend, you are by definition God's enemy. And if you are God's friend, you are by definition the world's enemy. Now, this is not told to us. We are lied to again and again and again. We are promised you can have this world and the next world too. You can have it all. You can have it both. Hey, how many thousand people fill his church every week? 18,000 and some? To hear your best life now. But it's a lie. Deception. The Word of God says otherwise. Now, if I am going, just one more little verse. John 18:18. Just write this down and read the whole context there around John 18:18. Fascinating thing. When did Peter start going wrong? When did Peter start going wrong? And there's a whole sermon you can preach on that. It's a great sermon. When the disciples fled from Jesus, it's all about the tomb. It's all about, I'm sorry, the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, the soldiers show up and all the disciples run away. There's an interesting passage if you read through those. It says, but Peter followed at a distance. And you know, what a description of so much of our Christianity. I'm following Jesus, but at a distance. That was his first mistake. His second one was, when they got to the place and Jesus was in having his trial, there was a courtyard there and all the soldiers, it was cold out, all the soldiers were there warming their hands at a fire they'd built. Now, we don't know much about that because we're never out when it's cold. Or if we are, we just go inside and but they had to stay outside and watch, so they lit a fire. And it says, and Peter joined himself to them and warmed his hands. I remember so long ago a man of God preaching a sermon, warming your hands by the enemy's fire. Oh, what a message. And you cannot warm yourself by the enemy's fire and stay in love with Jesus. It is no wonder that very quickly, what is Peter doing?
I don't know that man!
You bleepity bleep, shut up your bleepity bleep mouth! That's what the Bible says literally happened. He cursed. He denied it with cursing. You see how when I begin to join myself to the world, sin becomes very, very, very easy. Now, We're not going to get real far today, but I want to start on the first of these. How then do I have victory? And I'm only going to cover the first. And it's going to be nothing new. You're not going to sit there and go, wow, Pastor, you've never said this before, because I have. But we need to be reminded of how important it is, because I'll guarantee you that there are people here that have been deceived and lied to, and the devil, Hitler said, quoting the words of Satan, tell a big lie long enough and people will believe it. And that's Satan's principle. Tell a big lie long enough and people will believe it. Look at evolution. Global warming. Yeah. We could use a little global warming this winter, couldn't we? Here's the first thing. Number one, if you want to stay in love with Jesus and thereby have victory over sin, first of all, you cannot do it alone. It is absolutely vital that you need other people. Now, we looked at this verse in a different context earlier in this message, several weeks ago, but I don't assume that you remember that. Somebody asked the preacher, told the preacher, he said, your people don't remember what you preach from week to week. And he goes, what did I preach last week anyway? Hopefully that's not true. But here, look with me at Hebrews chapter 3. We looked at these verses, but I want you to do it, to look again, because they're verses that maybe haven't penetrated deep into your heart. Remember, the writer of Hebrews is giving warning. Why is he giving warning? Because people are no longer loving Jesus the way they used to. What kind of words does he describe in the book of Hebrews? They are drifting. He says, we must be careful so that we do not drift away. He says, they are abandoning. He says, let us not, as some are in the habit of doing. He says, sin is coming in, because he has to say in chapter 10, if we sin willfully, there's no longer any. And look what it says. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Let me just focus on that phrase out of this verse. Harden your heart. What happens is what happens in marriages, what happens between children and parents, and what happens between us and God, we harden our hearts. Have you ever known a person like that? At one time they had a tender heart. The Word of God touched them deeply. They were deeply moved by the Holy Spirit. And today, when you talk to them, you might as well pound on this oak pulpit. Let's get a little more personal. Have you ever felt your heart hardening? If you haven't, then it's probably not because it's never happened, but because you were deceived and didn't notice it. Because hardening is constantly around us all the time. And none of us are immune to it. Let's jump down to verse 12. We wouldn't have to. There's great stuff there, but I want you to jump down. It says, see to it. Now, what does that phrase, see to it, mean? Whose responsibility is what he's going to say next? Is this something God's going to do unilaterally, or is this something that God expects us to do? See to it, brother, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. There's the second phrase. Notice, a hard heart leads to what? A sinful, unbelieving heart. That, here's the third phrase, what? That what? Turns away. So a hard heart leads to a sinful, unbelieving heart that leads to turning away from the living God. That's the essence of the sin road, isn't it? My heart begins to be hard. I begin to tolerate sin. I begin to turn away. There was an old saying, and it's absolutely true. Either God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God. One of those things will always happen. And there's no exception. Now, what's the answer? To the person who has hardened their heart, their heart has become sinful and unbelieving, and they have turned away, what is the answer? But encourage one another. Now, how many times are we told what you need to do is read your Bible more? And we're going to get to that. That's important. But that isn't enough. There are people who read their Bible 10 hours a day and still are steeped in sin. He says we need to encourage one another. As long as it is called today, how long do we need that? All day long. And when we wake up tomorrow, what will we need? Why? Because when we wake up tomorrow, it will be, how about Tuesday? When we wake up on Tuesday, it will be today. And when we wake up on Wednesday, it will be today. And it will never be tomorrow. You'll never wake up on tomorrow. You'll always wake up on today. So long as it is called today, so that none of you may be... Here's where he combines it all together. If you were thinking, Pastor, I don't know if this all fits together. Here's what he says. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, if you want to avoid being hardened by sin's deceitfulness, if that's your goal, if you say, I want to live a holy life, I want to be connected to Christ, I want to live for His glory, I want to please Him, then what he's saying is, we need to encourage one another as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, for those who are quick to say, well, it doesn't matter whether I do or not, because, you know, I'm saved and that's the only thing I need to worry about. I don't even have to worry about this stuff because, hey, whether I do or not, I'm going to heaven. What's the next verse say? We have come to share in Christ if we pray a prayer and walk away from it. If we hold firmly till the end. What the confidence we had at first. As it's just been said, today, you hear His voice. Don't harden your heart. And then, chapter 4, verse 1, notice what it says. Therefore, he's been giving all these illustrations from the Old Testament. Since the promise of entering His rest still stands, we have this wondrous opportunity. It's not unavailable. Sometimes, let me be really honest, sometimes it can seem that way because God doesn't always come to us immediately just because we ask Him the first time. That's why Jesus prayed night after night after night after night. He didn't just pray it once and was done with it. Let us be, what's the word? Careful. Careful that none of you be found having fallen short of it. Don't miss that. Don't fall short. Do you see the illustration there? He's talking an archery term. You shoot, and you're trying, you're shooting, but it just falls. Just falls short. He says, don't fall short. You can hit in the circle. It's possible. But you're not going to do it alone. You're not going to do it alone. If you don't have other people encouraging you. Now, that doesn't mean, like the world says today, if you get together with other believers, but just act like the world, only a little cleaned up. That's what they're going to do today. Today's Super Bowl Sunday, and in churches all over America, they'll have Super Bowl parties with giant screen TVs, and they'll call it fellowship. And there won't probably be the drinking, at least I hope not. These days, we don't know that, do we? There won't be the cursing and the dirty jokes, hopefully. And it won't be the bar scene. But it won't be encouraging spiritually. We're not just talking about coming together with Christians, but then we're just coming together with Christians to be a clean version of the world. We're talking about, he's saying, that we need to protect each other from the hardening of sin because we're exposed to it all the time. Who here can say they can honestly drive down the highway 10 miles to work without being assailed by temptation or greed or any one of those three, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life? Now it's not enough that they have the billboards that just sit there. They have the electronic ones that change every 3 seconds or whatever it is. Which one of us can sit at home and not be hardened? You can't watch the news today without being hardened, can you? That's me. And he says, we need each other. So number one, the first thing, if you are going to have victory over sin, the first thing is you need to surround yourself and give people access into your life that are going to speak to you warnings and encouragement to keep you spiritual. If you don't have that, you're at best coasting downhill. At worst, you're falling off the cliff. I tell this to my son. He's down in South Carolina, and I tell him, you need to stay down there for quite a while longer. Because he needs to be surrounded by people that are going to keep him accountable and keep him from being hardened by sin. You think he's the only one? We act as though, you know, if you're a drug addict, you need that. How many non-sin addicts are there in this building? Anybody raise their hand? Somebody says, how can you understand drug addicts? You never did drugs. No, I'm not a drug addict, but I am a sin addict. And it doesn't matter what my sin is or what your sin is. It's always there ready to jump out and get us, isn't it? As Nick used to say so often, he'd say, I'm one step away from falling. Doesn't the Bible say that? If any of you think you are standing, what does it say? Take heed lest you fall. And what does the Word of God say? pities the man who is alone, because what? When he falls, there is no one there to get him up. We need each other. That's number one. Starting next week, we're going to go through, and we're going to look at things that you know, but we all need to be reminded of. Because there is, do not let sin deceive you and say there's no hope, it doesn't work. It does. It's just difficult. Christianity has never been tried and found wanting. It has always been found difficult and left untried. Let's bow together. Oh God. We come to holy things. Your word says, as we were looking at it prayer Friday night, about the priests that do not differentiate between the common and the uncommon, between the holy and the unholy. Lord, you want us to be a holy people. You have provided us, as Peter says in 2 Peter throughout that first chapter, you have provided us everything we need for life and godliness. In Christ Jesus. By your wondrous promise. Oh God, may your Holy Spirit today move in our hearts, convicting us, showing us, open to us the places we are blind, that we might see your truth. Lord, give us courage. How many times in your word does it say, be strong and courageous? Lord, that we might face the real enemy, especially the enemy we carry inside of us, the enemy that always wants to surrender to the world, that loves the world, that would betray us in a heartbeat. Give us strength that we might love you like we should, because only in that is there any freedom from the sin that destroys, the sin that deadens, the sin that binds us. Oh Lord, may we know you in the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We come today to the Lord's table.